happen again. The Portland building was the only building we ever built using black glass. The original design had large-sized tiles. Smaller tiles were substituted for budget reasons. We see nothing sacred in the low-budget materials and details used on the Portland building facades. We fully support this responsible and well-thought-through renovation proposal, and I know Michael Graves would have too.
Thank you. Perfect timing. You had two extra seconds.
Thank you for taking the time and the trouble to come all the way to tell us that. I appreciate it.
Well, we care deeply about the building. It sort of was our first real important building. We were pretty passionate about it. I think looking back later, we were a little bit sad to see it was so poorly built because the budget was so low. But we feel responsible for it still. It's one of our kids.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and City Commissioners. My name is Matthew Roman. I'm a member of the Historic Landmarks Commission, and I'm here on behalf of the Commission today to defend our decision and hopefully solicit your support for that. I would agree with Peter Meijer that this is an iconic building. Whether Portlanders love it or not, it's internationally known. It's probably one of the few Portland buildings you'll find in every American history, architectural history book. And so the commission did not take lightly its responsibilities and also did not look at the building as anything other than every other historic building that we would review. Even though the commission ultimately voted unanimously for the decision before you today, it was not an easy decision. We are used to looking at buildings that are at least 50 years old, in most cases closer to 100 years old. And we typically apply preservation standards that were developed to protect aesthetic value and historic fabric. In this case, the building is more about an idea. Michael Graves was in a conversation with the architecture of the world at the time. This building represents a dialogue between postmodernism and modern international style architecture. It afforded, you know, the opportunity to reintroduce decorative elements into architecture and to kind of overcome the austerity that some perceived or brutal nature of some of the international buildings. That being said, I think Michael Graves would acknowledge that he was taking symbolism from the past, reincorporating it into these buildings and giving it new meaning. The materials that iconography is built out of are really immaterial to what the message that was being conveyed. We didn't see the materiality of the building as being its most character defining feature. So I think, you know, despite the dispute that might be perceived among preservationists, it's in part that we're grappling with the idea of modern era buildings becoming historic and the very nature of those buildings being built out of technologies that have not been around for thousands of years, like materials we're used to working with, wood, steel, stone, brick. So it is a unique situation. The building has been controversial from the beginning, and I think it's maybe appropriate that that controversy continues on to this day. We believe the proposed approval best balances the desire to preserve the integrity of the building's design while correcting inherent deficiencies in the building and construction type. And for modern buildings where the source of building's value is only marginally related to materials or construction method, a strict adherence to historic accuracy and building preservation may not be appropriate. Good luck.
Very good. Can I ask you a question, please? So appellate number one seems to agree with the conditions, except they've also asked us to remove condition G related to the HVAC unit. What say you to that?
Well, in preparation for the testimony today, I reread some of the history of the building. And, you know, the rooftop was actually part of the original design program. So consideration for views of neighboring buildings and that sort of dialogue that the Portland building would have with those buildings was an important consideration. I think some of the sketches that show the sort of Acropolis or different arrangements of smaller buildings on the roof suggest that the architect was responding to that program requirement. We were not shown a lot of mechanical system analysis and how big equipment has to be, but we did feel that that large of a mass on the roof would have an impact on the view of the building from a distance. And so I can't offer any technical expertise as to what is required from an HVAC standpoint, but we felt to stay true to what our goal was, to protect the integrity of the design, that roof needed to be looked at more carefully.
Okay, so your conversations were really focused on the aesthetics and the design as opposed to engineering.
Absolutely, 100%.
Conversation and all that. Commissioner Fritz, did you have a...
Just a follow-up question to that. If it can't be done, do you think they should go back to the beginning and start all over again?
No.
So are we looking maybe at an alternative condition to meet what you and the Landmarks Commission were going for?
You know, weighing the two appeals before you today, if I had to pick a side, I certainly would take the side of removing criteria G. It was not my most important element, but in defense of my fellow commissioners who did feel strongly that the overall look of the building was being significantly changed by that proposal, we agreed with the staff's recommendation to go that route. So, and just to address one more item, you know, I think everyone here agrees that the 35-year-old building materials have failed. Even Peter Meijer's proposals, basically replaced all the materials on the building with the exception of the concrete and a few other elements. With that came the introduction of flashings and gaskets and caulking that would become, in our opinion, unsightly and actually give the building a worse appearance. It would also become, in our opinion, a nightmare maintenance where you're constantly trying to put a Band-Aid on what is an inherent design flaw. So we realize that this is potentially a precedent-setting historic preservation case. It is being applied to a building that's only 35 years old, and so we hope for some understanding that we are, not entirely... The preservation community hasn't come to a consensus on how to deal with some of these issues, so it's... before you.
Well, thank you for your time on the commission and also for taking the time to come and explain today. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, all three of you. We appreciate it. And I'm sorry, you said there's two more?
Yes.
Two more.
Cindy Nickel and Tom Walsh.
Come on up. Good afternoon. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. It's great to be before you again. I'm Cindy Nickel, a resident of Portland, and I'm Chief Financial Officer of the Port of Portland. For the past several years, I've served on the Oversight Committee for the Portland Building, and I appreciate that in establishing the Oversight Committee, the City Council sought transparency and input from the broader Portland community. We take seriously our responsibility to meet monthly with the project team, advise on project scope, budget, schedule, sustainability, and social equity, and ask questions, which we ask a lot of. Report to the city's chief administrative officer on the health of each of these aspects of the project. Our reports are published online and are available to you and the public. I wanted to speak with you today about the integrity of the Portland Building Reconstruction Project. The Oversight Committee has been clear from the outset that the project must be accomplished within the $195 million budget and by the end of 2020, and that any give would have to be in project scope. The project team has been proactive in looking at best practices elsewhere, thinking deeply about options about how best to meet the project goals. As a result, some of the key features of the project, which you're aware of, include using a progressive design build approach to enhance efficiency, moving all employees to temporary locations to expedite the project, and being strategic and focusing on the biggest risks of the project and taking them off the table as soon as practicable. I've been involved in many such projects in my 30-year career, and this has been one of the best managed that I've ever seen. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I would add only 2 points. One, in support of what you just said, this project has been superbly managed. Number two, it is an incredibly difficult project. I've only been in the construction world for 55 years, and this is the most complicated project I've ever been associated with. the directions that we have strongly recommended and fully support are not easy to come by. They could be easily criticized, but if somebody says we have two paramount objectives here, one is to maintain the historically preserved building, and two, for 1,600 very valuable and very critical employees of the city of Portland, to make this a place where they not only want to work but can work very effectively. That is a demanding challenge. If the goal was only to preserve the building, for instance, maybe create a storage facility, things would become much easier. But when this is the primary working place for 1,600 critically important city employees, things become much more complex. The combination of all those factors come together with a recommendation that I most strongly support and would hope that you would also.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. We appreciate it. Thank you. All right. So if the appellant so chooses, they have up to 10 minutes to respond. Appellant one.
Mayor and commissioners, good afternoon. For the record, my name is Tom Reinhart, Chief Administrative Officer for the City of Portland. And we are here to request that you deny the appeal by Peter Meiser Architects and uphold the Historic Landmark Commission's 4-0 decision to approve the proposal we put forth for the Portland building reconstruction.
Could I ask legal counsel a question? Are they allowed to bring up new issues, or is this specifically to respond to testimony?
This is to respond to testimony.
Okay, so no new stuff. This
no,
is to respond.
No new evidence in the record, but the testimony includes written testimony that's been received as well.
Very good.
So, yeah, and I at the end, I'll kind of remind you what might have been new. I've been alerted to a few things. So I'll
I just know, you know, Mr. Reinhart's a very cagey individual, so yes. I wanted to make sure we kept him honest.
I'm keeping a list.
Okay, very good. Mr. Reinhart, continue. Sorry for the interruption.
Mr. Mayor, it's the nicest thing I've been called all day, but I will follow the rules. We firmly believe the proposed design meets all the historic criteria and is the best approach to long-term asset management for the city. And since a lot of what I was prepared to say has already been mentioned, I will spare the tired council any repetition. I'm going to jump around a little bit. The Office of Management and Finance established a team of expert professionals to grapple with the best approach from a technical as well as a historic standpoint. I want you to know that. The team is confident that the proposal is the best approach to ensure that all the goals are achieved. In the historic approval criteria, the Portland Zoning Code, including the requested modifications and all the design guidelines from the Central City fundamental design stuff, it was all taken into account, with the one exception that the project is appealing. All the other conditions were mutually agreed upon as ways to further enhance and support the historic integrity of the building and show a commitment to support the best long-term solution for the city. Now, Mr. Meiser's appeal asserts that we do not meet 8 out of the 10 historic approval criteria and the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines. Now, the Historic Landmarks Commission, it's important to point out, is a body of experts appointed by you, the City Council, experts whose primary charge is to ensure that when historic resources are proposed for alteration, that the approval criteria are met. We brought forth a project that we believe meets these criteria, and after thorough vetting, as you heard the long timeline earlier, the commission unanimously agreed as well with a couple of conditions. Today we are asking for your support. Mr. Meiser's appeal also raises concerns that are outside of the Landmark Commission's purview and therefore outside of the land use review process before you today. However, as a project sponsor, I want to assure you we are meeting the intent set forth by council from the initiation of this project and are meeting all the goals within the project's charter. For example, the project team has conducted extensive light studies using our proposed design, which show a significant increase in daylight within the building. These were produced in April of this year as part of our whole building energy analysis, and the summary was previously submitted into the record. While the construction cost is also outside the scope of the Historic Landmarks Review and the land use case before you today, we would also like to respond to Mr. Meiser's statements regarding the costs on this project. Again, as the project sponsor, I assure you that the team fully understands the scope and total budget and is being vigilant about both initial construction costs as well as the cost long-term of operations and maintenance, which we as a city have not historically been as good at as we need to. We appreciate your careful consideration of the proposal, and we respectfully ask you to deny Mr. Meiser's appeal and allow the project to continue on a path that will create a building which will effectively serve our community both at completion and well into the future. I'm here with my colleagues to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Any further questions? Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. Having heard, directing this to the architects, having heard the concerns of the design, the Landmarks Commission about the rooftop system, is there any other condition of approval that could lead to minimizing the size and location? Is there anything else that you could do with that rooftop equipment that would make it respond to their concerns?
They had voiced their concerns at our initial hearing, and we did actually, as part of that, look into some potential items such as screening the units and providing a visual barrier around them that would be potentially, more pleasing to look at. And one of the issues that we ran into there is that it ended up with space constraints being more visible than the units themselves. So we agreed at our follow-up hearing that that was actually sort of exacerbating the problem. That's undeniable that the units are large, but as I pointed out, this is a 15-story building, and we've actually made considerable efforts considering that the current mechanical equipment takes up half of the entire second floor. I think getting the mechanical air handling down to two discrete units is actually a pretty noteworthy feat. So although it might seem like we're stonewalling or not making concessions, as I said previously, we put a lot of effort into presenting something that was well thought out, and being architecture team and having consultants who do historic projects all the time, we know what the issues are going to be, and therefore we try not to put things in front of the Landmarks Commission that we know are just outright unapprovable and could be done a better way.
Is there, I know this is part of the approval criteria, but I'm getting to my revised condition. Is there going to be any kind of eco-roof treatment of the top?
I don't know if that's a potential or not. Unfortunately, we don't have our mechanical engineers present. But as I mentioned in my previous presentation, we are actually maintaining the existing eco-roof, and we're using a design that's actually part of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability's recommendations to put our mechanical equipment on platforms, which allows the eco-roof to function underneath them. And we can use low-light shaded plantings, but underneath all of that mechanical equipment you see, the eco-roof is actually able to remain in place.
That would make... So the equipment then is higher than it absolutely needs to be because it's saving the eco-roof?
Yes.
Why didn't you put the eco-roof on top of it?
I can't actually say whether or not that's feasible. I don't know if it's feasible to put an eco-roof on top of an air handler without creating additional issues.
Well, I was just thinking of Commissioner Udaly's question earlier about the original design and one of the kind of patterned top, which seemed like a good suggestion, but then that was explain why that couldn't happen. And I'm thinking in other situations where you want to mask something, you use landscaping. Mm-hmm. So anyway, if you could just keep thinking, is there anything else that could be done to address the issue of the rooftop treatments?
Yes.
Thank you.
Very good. Anything else? Any other questions? All right. Thank you. We appreciate it. Appellant number two's response, should they wish. They have up to 10 minutes. Hello again.
Hello again. And as I understand this procedure, I am asked if I have any comments in regards to appellant number one. And since we are appealing the whole project.
Or testimony, because weirdly enough, then appellant one gets to rebut what you have said, and appellant two, you, get to rebut
that. I understand.
It's like a tennis match or something. So really, this is your chance to rebut testimony, I think. Is that... Respond to testimony.
To respond, yeah.
Okay, very good.
I will keep this simple for counsel. We have spelled out our applicable review criteria and our appeal. I find it difficult to talk about the what-ifs of this project. What if there was more money? What if the original design was different? I find it difficult to project the ideas of a very famous architect who is no longer with us, sadly. And I will not pretend to rebut or refute what Michael might have said to our office in the conversations we had during the National Register nomination, other than to reiterate that he loved this project. Up until the controversy of this project started to hit the press, the Portland building was still on Michael Graves' website front and center. That should tell you very much how he revered that building. His time in town was very much about the changes of the glass, but not this wholesale project that you are seeing before us. So he was concerned about the ground floor and how it met the pedestrian realm, mostly the arcade side. But in no ways did he project onto his project a significant change that would remove it from the National Register nomination. And I'm here for questions.
Colleagues? All right, none so far. Thank you. Appellant number one, you have the opportunity to rebut for up to 5 minutes. By the way, we did not invent this process.
I have never been in any process like this.
I'm hoping to come up again.
Is it ever going to end?
I only have a few closing comments in terms of
the rebuttal. I fully expect somebody just to concede at some point.
Before the council is truly beaten down. Do I have to state my name again for the record?
Tom yes,
Reinhart,
please.
Chief
yes,
Administrative Officer. In closing, the Portland building is a unique and technically complicated structure, as we all know. Developing a strategy for its renovation has been a terrific challenge for the team. It's taken it very seriously and worked diligently for over a year to find the best solution. As you've heard, the proposed solution was developed and vetted by a highly qualified team of multiple professionals, firms, and our excellent Portland Building Oversight Committee, a couple of whom you heard from today. Additionally, I want to restate that the team presented to Landmarks Commission on four separate occasions to get input, feedback, and reach an agreeable resolution, which was approved with some conditions on a 4-0 vote. Unfortunately, due to the process, the project team was unable to clarify the technical challenges with the mechanical condition that we've talked about that has been placed on the project. So to be clear, we're asking you today to uphold the commission's decision to approve, deny Mr. Meiser's appeal in full, and grant us a removal of Condition G to allow the air handling equipment to remain as shown in the proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. All right, appellant number two. You get the last word if you so choose.
Thank you.
All right. Very, very good. So that brings us to council discussion. Colleagues?
I have one question to ask of staff, if I may.
Very good. Could staff please return to microphone? Commissioner Fritz, anybody in particular?
BDS.
Very good.
Thank you.
BDS, thank you.
My question is, if the historic review approval criteria conflicts with the Central City Plan design goals, which prevails?
The historic review criteria. So 060G 1 through 10 would supersede Central City.
So to the concern about ground floor windows and enlivening the public space, we wouldn't be able to do that because of the historic nature was that that didn't have those windows on the 4th Avenue side.
In theory, yes, but also the modification approval criteria allow us that to even greater focus on the historic character.
Okay.
Besides the guidelines.
Thank you. That's my main question.
Anything else?
Unless you can think of a good substitute for the condition G.
I can.
Thank you.
Very good. Colleagues, further questions, or I'll entertain a motion.
I would move to...
Can I just jump in really quick?
Yes, you're the legal counsel,
okay.
Always. Yes.
So just as a friendly reminder, you have in front of you a handout with the applicable criteria. So though there's been a number of things discussed that are not applicable criteria, I just want to remind you what the applicable criteria are. I have also been alerted to a couple of pieces of testimony that are new evidence that... Council should not consider this was information that was not brought to the Landmarks Commission, so it's new evidence here before you, and that includes the Getty Institute grant. That was not information that the Landmarks Commission received, as well as a PBCOC report that was also not placed before the Landmarks Commission, and finally a fact or a statement that the PBOT has a zero tolerance approach regarding encroachment.
Okay, very good. So, as they say on TV, disregard that. Commissioner Saltzman?
Yeah, I would make a motion to uphold the Landmarks Commission approval with the removal of condition G. And to overturn the appeal of Peter Meijer.
A second.
So we have a motion from Commissioner Saltzman to uphold the Historic Landmark Commission's findings removing condition G. Seconded by Commissioner Udaly. Any further discussion? I want to remind people this is a tentative vote, correct?
Yes. So Council would make a tentative vote today and then return to adopt findings. And I believe the 13th and the 14th have been flagged as potential dates that would work for staff to come back with findings. Is that?
Do we need to specify a date here?
Yes.
Let's specify a date, please. Carla, how does the
you said the 13th or 14th of September for return
yes.
date?
That's my understanding.
It'd be 11:15 in the morning.
On which date?
I'm sorry, the 13th. For time certain.
Thank you.
Very good. Any further discussion, colleagues? Call the roll.
Saltzman.
Well, I appreciate the discussion of all sides to this issue. And I do want to thank our Oversight Committee for their great work as well. And I vote aye.
You Daly.
I also want to appreciate and thank everyone who came to participate today. No one undertakes this lightly. It's expensive. It's time-consuming. I love how passionate Portlanders are about our built environment, and I especially appreciated the comments of Mr. Burke. I grew up with this building, so I take this endeavor seriously. We just can't justify this kind of investment in the building without making huge improvements to the health and humaneness of the working environment for our public employees. Some of the offices in the building feel like prison cells, and it's regarded as a sick building. I don't see any viable alternatives to the HVAC system. It seems that we've really come up with the best plan possible. So I vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, I want to acknowledge, to start off with, that this is kind of our project. So it's odd and been a challenge to act in a quasi-judicial manner on this particular application, since it's really the city applying to do what the city wants to do and being blessed by the city's Historic Landmarks Commission. And so that's why it's particularly important that we know it has to go on the approval criteria. You have to see, does it match the approval criteria? If it didn't, then as much as we might want the project to happen, we would have to vote against it. But it does meet the approval criteria. I actually am one of those who loves this building. I've been enamored of it ever since I got here in 86. And like, I don't know if Michael Graves called it the birthday cake building, but I have, yes?
It's Ben Corbett.
Well, I just think that's how I describe one of the chaperoning children around downtown in horrendous school trips, which I'd prefer to forget. I always do then refer to it as that, and it helps people remember. So I think it's a very special building, and Mr. Maggio, I appreciate your concern for it, your concern for the public money. Many of the issues you raised may indeed be issues. They're not, however, connected with the approval criteria, and so I think there may be other avenues to look into them. I believe this project does meet the approval criteria, and for that reason, I vote aye.
Wheeler.
I'm one of those people who have always been critical of this building. And it's a building, frankly, I've loved to hate. And in that regard, I think it's been a raging success. It's like one of those artworks that sparks a lot of conversation and a lot of debate. And frankly, I love listening to the tour groups that are there almost every single day. And I like hearing different tour guides' interpretations of what they think of the building. And in that regard, I think it's a highly successful building, but it is in great need of being saved. And as people know, I've spent a lot of time discussing mostly the fiscal issues of this particular project, but I've enjoyed this hearing, and frankly, I've enjoyed this process because it's great to hear from national experts and local experts and architects and the folks on the Landmarks Commission and historians and people who are involved in architecture and construction and all manner of this project. And it's helped me develop a deeper appreciation for the significance of this iconic building in our city. I'm not sure it's grown on me yet, but I love the fact that it's here, and I love the fact that it generates as much interest, enthusiasm, commentary, both positive and negative, as it does. I think it's great. I am compelled as well by the testimony today that we heard. I applaud the Historic Landmarks Commission for their hard work on this. I know they deliberated this long and hard. It would be my preference that we not have to put large HVAC units on the roof, but I also understand why we are doing it, and I think every attempt has been made to minimize the impact of that in terms of the overall integrity of the design and what Mr. Graves and his firm had intended when they came forward with their original plan. So I support Commissioner Saltzman's motion. That means it is adopted. We have tentatively approved it. We will make a formal vote on the
13th of September at 11:15 a.m.
at City Council Chambers here at Portland City Hall for those who wish to be here. Thank you, and we are adjourned. And again, thanks, everybody, for your patience today.